Jesus and the apostles taught that history is headed for a climactic conclusion. They described events that would take place in what they called the last days, just before Jesus would return to earth. Surprisingly, they said in the last days that Christian people would not endure sound doctrine, that people in Christian churches would abandon the biblical beliefs of their own faith. Further, they said, in the last days, false preachers and teachers would arise in the church and go undetected in introducing destructive heresies to their own congregations. The Bible predicts these false preachers will go so far as to even deny Jesus himself and his substitutionary work on the cross. And instead of resisting false doctrines and false teachers, the Bible predicts many people will follow the teachings and ways of these false preachers. Is there evidence today that we are living in the last days? If so, what does it all mean? Should we be encouraged or discouraged by such information? And how can knowledge about the last days deepen the faith of every true believer? To hear the answers to these questions, we invite you to join us for this edition of the John Ankerberg Show, in which we will examine the characteristics of the people and false religion the Bible predicts will arise in the last days. Welcome. We're looking at the characteristics of the apostasy and the false religion of the last days that the Bible predicts will come about. And I'd like to start today's program by drawing your attention to one biblical passage and then immediately letting you listen to a clip from one of our past debates, which I think will illustrate what this biblical passage is saying. Now, first, the biblical passage. By the way, it's the sixth characteristic of the people in the false religion of the last days that we're studying. Here it is. In the last days, there will be pastors, preachers, ministers in our Christian churches who will be false teachers. The Bible predicts they will go so far as to even deny Jesus Christ, his deity, and his substitutionary death on the cross. The biblical passage is 2 Peter 2, 1 and 2. There we read, "But there were also false prophets among the people," referring back to Israel, "just as there will be false teachers among you." Here's Peter referring to leaders in the church to come. "They," that's the false teachers, "will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute." Now let me ask you, is it true that we have false teachers in the church today who are introducing destructive heresies, even denying our Lord Jesus who bought them? Well, in trying to come to grips with this question, I'd like you to listen to a clip from one of our past debates between a Christian bishop and an evangelical biblical scholar. See what you think.
I think that the question that many people that are Christians across the country would want me to ask first off, as they've heard you on television, as they've read your books, and as they've heard what you've said in print in the newspapers, you deny that Jesus is God. You deny the Bible is the literal Word of God. You deny the biblical definition of sin. You reject the biblical teaching on salvation, that a person must believe in Jesus Christ in order to have his sins forgiven. You reject the traditional Christian doctrines of heaven and hell. You reject the Ten Commandments, for the most part. You deny the literal, physical resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, for starters. Now, my tough question is this. If you deny all of those things, are you a Christian?
Well, let's take the first one.
Okay, Jesus is not God.
Yeah, but what I said in the book was that the simplistic claim that Jesus is God is not affirmed in Scripture. By that I mean that when Jesus was the incarnate one, he prayed to God. He was not talking to himself. He had the sense of God beyond himself. He died. God did not die when Jesus died. God was still there with the power of resurrection. So that to make the simplistic identification between Jesus in his incarnation and God is not part of the Christian narrative. What the Christian narrative, it seems to me, says is that God was in Christ, that when we meet Christ, we meet God. I cannot think of God apart from Jesus Christ. I cannot think of Jesus Christ apart from God. But I think the whole doctrine of the Trinity in the Christian tradition was an attempt to keep separate while affirming the unity. I do not believe there's a separation between God and Jesus that would cause me to say that Jesus is not God's saving revelation in human history.
Hi, Dr. Martin, you've written a book, a classic book, called The Kingdom of the Cults, and it seems like under the chapter of the Jehovah's Witnesses, that same kind of idea comes up in a different form. But what would you respond to Bishop Spong concerning what he said about Jesus?
I think what we're dealing with is what has been called theobabble. The bishop makes a statement, clear-cut, Jesus is not God, a simplistic idea. Then when asked about it, the bishop says, but actually that's not what I meant. And that would be true virtually of all the propositions which were enumerated. The problem is that the Episcopal doctrine, affirmation of the Trinity, says that Jesus is God the Son, second person of the Trinity. When the bishop took his ordination vows, the bishop said, I will obey Jesus Christ. The bishop said he was subject to the authority of the Scriptures. The Scriptures say, not simplistically, but clearly, Jesus is God the Son. Very clearly. In the beginning was the Word was face to face with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. Every time he celebrates the Eucharist in the Episcopal Church, he is affirming John chapter 1, even though he may not want to believe it, he's doing it. But Jesus made the statement himself that he was God in the clearest possible terms. In John chapter 8, the Jews said to him, you're not 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham. Jesus said, before Abraham came into existence, I am. The bishop knows perfectly well. It's a quotation from the Septuagint, a Greek translation of the Hebrew, the King James Bible of the day. The Jews understood it. Verse 59, they reached for rocks to kill him. Why do you stone me? Not for your good works, but for blasphemy, and that thou, being a man, are making yourself out to be God. One of the clearest cut doctrines of historic Christianity and of biblical theology is the eternal deity of Jesus Christ. To make such statements outright, he is not God, however you equivocate afterwards, is to do a great disservice to the Lord you swore when you were ordained that you would defend.
Now, you were listening to Dr. Walter Martin debate the controversial Episcopalian Bishop of Newark, Bishop John Shelby Spong. Now, Bishop Spong was the first Episcopalian bishop in our country to ordain a practicing homosexual into the ministry. And as you heard, he denies all the basic doctrines of Scripture, and yet somehow he's still an Episcopalian bishop. Now, why did I want you to listen to this, and why do I want you to compare it with the scriptural passage in 2 Peter? It's because I think this fits with the scenario of where the Bible says history is headed. In broad terms, the Bible says history is headed toward a climax. And that climax will be when Jesus Christ himself comes back to earth. But the Bible says before Jesus will come back to earth, there will be certain events, certain signs that take place that are outlined in Scripture. And when we see them, they will indicate that his coming is near. Now, in this television series, we're examining the characteristics of the false religion that the Bible says will arise in the latter days just before Jesus comes back. We are listing these characteristics and then looking at current events to see if we can tell where we are on God's prophetic calendar. Now, I'm not going to review all that we've said in the past weeks. I simply want to list the different points that will bring you up to speed and where we're at today's program. First, we've seen that the Bible says there will be a departure from the faith. 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2 says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. We've already seen that the faith has to do with the truths, the essential doctrines which comprise Christianity. And without these doctrines, you wouldn't have Christianity. They include the deity of Christ, his substitutionary atoning death on the cross for our sins, his resurrection from the dead, the inspiration and inerrancy of the Bible, the virgin birth, the doctrine of the Trinity, the last judgment, heaven and hell, to name just a few. Now, the Holy Spirit says that in the latter times, people shall abandon these key doctrines. Second, the Bible says people will depart from the faith in part because they will be misled by spirits. The Bible says the Spirit clearly says that in latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits. Well, we've documented in past programs how people in our world today are following their spirit guides, talking to angels, and paying attention to what those spirits, angels, and apparitions are saying to them. Then third, in the last days, the Holy Spirit says, people will not only follow deceiving spirits, but they will follow things taught by demons. Now, these are people who aren't channeling spirits. They're not talking to spirits. Rather, they are simply following the ideas, the philosophies, the doctrines that have been given by demons. Now, today we have thousands of channelers who are letting spirits speak through them, giving information which is being printed and put into books. People read those books and they follow the ideas, philosophies, and religious worldviews that are being promoted. I showed you a clip from our program with Jose Silva, the founder of Silva Mind Control. More than 6 million Americans have taken his course. Silva said on our program they had gotten all of his information from the spirits. Those people who have embraced the ideas of Silva's course are following what the Bible says are doctrines of demons. Then the fourth characteristic of the people in the religion of the last days that the Bible gives us is that the people in our Christian churches will not endure sound doctrine. That is, they won't put up with it. Sound doctrine is healthy doctrine. Healthy is the opposite of diseased doctrine. According to the apostles, God's word is sound doctrine, and it's good for your spiritual health, for your spiritual life. Unfortunately, in the latter days, Scripture predicts that people in our Christian churches will not put up with it. They won't put up with sound doctrine. The fifth characteristic the Bible gives us is that people will choose churches that preach what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. 2 Timothy 4 says, "For the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths." Here the Bible says churches will hire preachers who preach what the congregation wants to hear, not what God says they need to hear. More specifically, the Bible says they will choose preachers who agree with and appeal to the congregation's own lusts and desires. And as a result, the Bible says the religious beliefs held by Christians in those churches will eventually be based on fables. And now today we want to examine the sixth characteristic, namely that there will be ministers, pastors, preachers in the Christian church who will go so far as to even deny Jesus Christ, His deity, and His substitutionary death on the cross for our sins. If we can see these things happening today, then they are indications of two things. One, that our Lord's return at the rapture must be near. And two, that we must take Jesus' warning to heart to not be spiritually deceived ourselves. Now, are churches hiring preachers who will preach what they want to hear rather than what they need to hear? Sadly, I think this is true in many cases. Now, let me give you some examples. Here's an article in the New York Times dated August 22, 1996. It shows a picture of Reverend Richard A. Rehm. He is the pastor of a 1,000-member Reformed Church in Michigan. His denomination tried to fire him because the pastor said he no longer believed that faith in Jesus is the sole way to salvation. Well, how did the members in his congregation react to him saying this? Did they agree with their denomination that their pastor was preaching heresy and ask him to leave? No, the congregation voted to withdraw from their denomination and to stick with their pastor. In doing so, they were abandoning the faith. Now, another example of this can be found in this month's issue of World Magazine. It features an article about Canada's largest Protestant denomination and the man elected to take the denomination's highest office, a Mr. Bill Phipps. The United Church of Canada is a denomination which was formed in 1925, and it's made up of a union of Canadian Congregationalists, Methodists, and Canadian Presbyterians. After being elected, Mr. Phipps, the new moderator of the denomination, was interviewed by the Ottawa Citizen, a prominent newspaper in Canada. During his interview, Mr. Phipps quickly denied all of the central doctrines of the Christian faith. He denied the virgin birth, the bodily resurrection of Christ, the existence of heaven and hell, and most directly, the deity of Jesus Christ. Here's what he said, "I don't believe Jesus was God." But then he said, "I'm no theologian." World Magazine stated on that point, he says, "We're virtually all agreed, but theologian or not, the moderator is a heretic." In his interview, Mr. Phipps went on further to say, "I don't believe Jesus is the only way to God. I don't believe that he rose from the dead, and it's a scientific fact. I don't know whether these things happened. It's an irrelevant question." All right, now how do you think the United Church of Canada responded to their highest elected officials' heretical statements? Well, unbelievably, the church's general counsel supported Mr. Phipps. They said, "Rarely, if ever, do we use doctrinal standards to exclude anyone from the circle of belonging." World Magazine also reported that the previous moderator of the Canadian denomination said, "It's quite exciting to hear the United Church think like this. Mr. Phipps is moving us into a serious discussion of who Jesus Christ is." You know, the reporter covering all this was correct in concluding, quote, "Mr. Phipps' heresy is no longer remarkable in itself, but we are shocked by the boldness with which he, as the moderator of Canada's largest Protestant denomination, launched his attack upon Christ. The true scandal is in the church's refusal to deal with the heresy and call the moderator to account. This doctrinal cowardice indicates just how far the denomination has fallen and how empty its confession now stands." You say, that's shocking. But hey, John, you're describing Christians in Canada, not America. Well, according to the Barna Research Group, that's not true. According to the Barna Research, the polls show that 6 out of every 10 Americans say they do not believe in the existence of the Holy Spirit. What about those who claim to be dyed-in-the-wool, born-again evangelical Christians? Well, Barna surveyed these people and found that 55% of them claimed they did not believe the Holy Spirit really exists. Barna also reported that 40% of Americans currently believe that Jesus committed sin during his life on earth. What about evangelicals? 28% of those claiming to be born-again evangelical Christians said they also thought Jesus committed sin during his life on earth. And 35% of evangelicals claimed that while they believed Jesus died, he did not experience a literal physical resurrection. Well, what does all this mean? It means that right here in America, people in the Christian church are departing or abandoning the faith. It may be that the Apostle Peter is describing our churches when he says, "There will be false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies." The King James right here says, "damnable heresies." What are damnable heresies? They are doctrines, religious teachings, which if you believe them, they will damn your soul to hell. They are destructive. Peter concludes by writing, "And many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute." Ask yourself, are those who hold to the deity of Jesus Christ, his virgin birth, his sinless life, his substitutionary death on the cross, his literal physical resurrection from the dead, do you think that such Christians are in the majority or the minority today? Sadly, we have churches that are beautiful in architecture and rich in appointments, but there is no indication that the truth of God's Word is being preached in those churches. Our churches today give lip service to Christ, but they don't obey Him. By and large, our Christian churches are overtaken by worldliness. The lives of our people are often indistinguishable from those outside the church. Our prayer meetings are the poorest attended meetings of the week. We've built great buildings, but often we have little or no concern for seeing that the gospel is preached to dying millions of people around the world who have never heard of Jesus Christ or His salvation. People in such churches will be open to spiritual deception. They'll be without discernment. The Bible says that when the Antichrist comes, many of these churches will agree with him. What he says will sound good to them, just as their false preachers sound good to them right now. They won't even realize they have abandoned the truth and been abandoned by God. The Bible says this, they perish because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they might believe what is false. 2 Thessalonians 2:10 and 11. In the midst of all the bad news, the Bible constantly holds out the good news, and that's this. When we see all of these events taking place, the ever-increasing development of evil and apostasy in the church itself, merging with the false views of our own society, these are characteristics of the false religion of the last days. These characteristics should lead us to realize that the rapture is near, when Christ Himself will return and gather up all true believers to Himself. Let me ask, are you ready to meet Christ? Do you know Him personally? Have you confessed to Him that you're a sinner and placed all of your faith and trust in His atoning work for you, which God offers you as a free gift? And if you're a Christian, are you serious about walking with God and living for Him? Are you reading and applying His Word to your life every day? Make no mistake, God is serious about what He says and tells every one of us we shall all give an account of ourselves to God. Romans 14:12. You know, nothing else should matter more to you in this whole wide world than knowing Christ, knowing that your sins have been blotted out by God. Then every Christian should recognize that how we live between now and the time that Christ returns, or the time that you die, is going to determine the rewards that God gives to you in heaven. We don't work for salvation. That's given to us as a gift. But after we are saved, the rewards, the positions that will be given for all eternity will be determined by how faithful we were in living for Christ while on earth. If you aren't living for Christ faithfully right now, why not start doing so? Confess any sin, surrender any area in which you are not obeying God, and ask Him to tenderly lead and to care for you. He wants to. Pray to Him right now and say, Lord, I'm willing to obey You. Help me. Now, next week, we're going to continue to look at the characteristics of the people in the false religion of the last days, and specifically the prediction that the doctrine of Christ's second coming will be a joke to many in the church. And I hope that you'll join me.
For additional resources, log on to jashow.org. That's jashow.org.